depending upon the help of God, you again turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. The 28th verse of the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning, as you know, we dwelt more upon a clause in the text, all ye that labor. We spoke of the Church of God, that all the Lord's dear people are brought in some experience of the laboring, some deeper than others. God is a sovereign and he leads his dear people along, and some he leads deep into such an experience of prayer and laboring in prayer unto him. And we made a few remarks this morning of the laboring under the burden, under it, under the weight of sin and unbelief and the power of Satan and the trials of faith. There was a laboring under these burdens. This morning, this evening, as I may be helped, I would like to look at these people who are laboring for, because their faith within us, that is, it is the faith that God has given, that will go out for the rich blessings that God has prepared and bestowed, as it were, upon. So there's a labouring for. And I believe we know something of this labouring in prayer for more grace. Some of us feel to add but little grace. And sometimes we have to labor hard that the Lord will give us more of that grace. The Apostle Paul, why, he tells us, under the light of the Spirit, that the grace of God is sufficient for us. And we believe it is, but we feel to lack it, at least I do. And I have to labor sometimes before the Lord, sometimes by day, sometimes by night, that he might give me more grace. Just a few thoughts on this evening. Then we labour for more faith. And I believe I've mentioned it in prayer. There is a faith, living faith, that views him. Oh, how good it is to have a little faith view of our God and our Saviour, our Redeemer. And faith will cling to him. And how we feel our need and have to labour at times in prayer that we may be given grace and faith to cling unto the one who is able to save to the uttermost. So there's a labouring for grace and faith. Faith, as I said, to cling to him, and faith to believe in him. Some of us suffer very much with this unbelief within our souls, this unbelieving spirit, and we do desire and have to labor at times that the Lord might subdue that nature and give us more faith to believe in him and believe in his word and what we read and the precious promises he has given. to believe. So there's a labeling to take hold. And then there's the labeling for a faith to follow him. For it is our desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as we are enabled. He said to his disciples and to all of his dear people, is one church, follow me. Not that we can enter into the depth of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm aware we cannot. But there's a following on to know the Lord. In Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, who under the light of the Spirit, he was enabled to write, Wherefore, we are compassed about with many witnesses, and then he speaks of the running in the race that is set before him, looking unto Jesus. So there's a living faith to follow our up. And if we are enabled by that faith to follow hard, I believe the time will come when we shall find him. So there's a labouring. And then again, sometimes there's a much labouring at the mercy seat to love him more. We would love him, would we not? Some might say, well, we do love him. We love him with all our heart. Is that so? Well, I wish my poor heart was full of his love. But I believe I know a little of it, just a taste of it, now and again. And that causes me to labour at the mercy seat, the throne of grace, to know more of that sweet experience. For there's nothing like it on earth, friends. When the Lord sheds abroad, as it were, a little of his love within our poor cold hearts, why, it's an evidence of eternal glory. So there's a labouring before the Lord in prayer for more knowledge of him, more love of him, and to follow him. And there's a labouring before him that we might have that grace of humility and that grace of reverence. That labouring before him, as we mentioned this morning, to be prepared for him. Oh, ye that labour and are heavy laden. Now, I just hinted this evening and this morning upon these people who are in the text, the Lord's chosen, and the path that they have to tread. You might say, well, is this the path to heaven? Yes. The Apostle Paul tells us, through much tribulation, wasn't his words, it was the words of God, indicted by the Spirit in his heart to pen them through much tribulation. Doesn't say you may have it, you will have it. It's sure to be so, dear friends. But I've been encouraged very much of late in reading that last verse in the 16th of John, the words of Christ. The Lord Jesus has said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer. Now some of you may be in that path this evening. You've got much tribulation. Trials. You don't know how to handle them. You wonder what will be the outcome of them. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then that seemed to be made very sweet to me. I've overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world, my friends, everything in it. And you know by his loving kindness and his wisdom, he deals with every individual. and his loving kindness and directs them in the steps. I have overcome. Yes, I've overcome it all. And all these things now in my hand. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now the Lord has given these people a welcome to himself. Come unto me. And this is an invitation that comes down from heaven to earth. It's an invitation from a great and gracious and merciful and loving God down to a poor, undone and wretched sinner. Oh, I stood amazed at times in meditating upon it that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this God who created the all earth, spoke and it was done, should condescend to look down upon a sinful land and a sinful world, upon a sinful people, and give them that sweet invitation to come unto him. As some people, why the poor worldling, or those who have a profession and yet have not grace, they can handle this in a way that we cannot. The blind that lead the blind. They tell people, well, come to him, come to God, give your heart to him, trust in him. No need have any doubts or fears. My friends, it's not so in the world. Come unto me. I believe we read this morning in this very chapter, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's the secret of it, which is hid from the world. Why, these poor labouring people taught of the Spirit, they have an ear. We have the outward ear, but they have an inward ear to hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And these are the people that will hear the invitation and receive it as they are able to by living grace to come unto God. Come unto me. And his heart, my friends, is so full of love to his laboring people and these that are heavy laden that he welcomes them where? At his feet. And you see the wonderful provision in the gospel. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We can see the wonderful provision, the mercy seat, the throne of grace. We can see the wonderful provision there of the Mediator. Because there's no way to God the Father but in and through Jesus. God the Father is holy, so is Christ. So is the Holy Spirit, I know, that he cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. And there's no way to the Father but in and through his dear beloved Son. God is a consuming fire. But all these poor laboring people, they know it, they believe it, and therefore they labor to stand in Christ. And in his righteousness, pleading his righteousness and his merits and his blood, come unto me. Have you ever had a little view of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven on the right hand of his Father, drawing his dear people, these laborers, to his feet? Opens his ear to hear their cries, heart of sympathy. Oh, my friends, what a wonderful God we have. Come unto me, poor sinner, poor laborer, come. And there he is to hear the prayers and the supplications of his dear people. And then again we see the wonderful plan and the provision for his children in this, that the Spirit helps them. We may come labouring and labouring in our own words, no prayer. But oh, what a mercy it is when there's a little indicting in our hearts under the sweetness of the Spirit. That prayer, my friends, will ascend into heaven. Christ will hear it. The Lord Jesus will wash those petitions and present them unto his Father. So that the indicting of the Spirit enters into the ears of Christ, and those cries are presented to the Father. Oh, the wonderful plan of salvation. Provisions, as it were, in the blessed gospel, that poor sinners may come unto him. Come unto me. And some of the vilest. God is no respecter of people. I've often been thankful for the word of the parish. The vilest sinner out of hell, who feels his need, his welcome to the throne of grace, thy precious blood to plead, not one to fiddle. Some of you may, under the light of the Spirit, be deeply taught in the truth, and deeply taught of your ruined condition, you say, why, I'm too filthy, too defiled throughout by sin. How can I come? And if I should come, would he accept such a poor, wretched, undone sinner? Come unto me, Jesus. If you feel your need of it, come. Come. Yes, even the vilest, the filthiest sinner, welcome to his feet to plead his name. Take the dying thief for a moment. Oh, what a wonderful case. A miracle. Why, the poor man, he was a beggar, and he was a robber. He was a blasphemer. No doubt he had been in the depth of sin for many years, it may have been. And now he was to be crucified. Now he was to be put to death. Yes, a little before him, as it were, hell. Nothing, no hope of anything different. And he had no concern about it. Just where the worldling is today. But the hour of conviction entered into his soul. There was this word, welcome, come unto me. And the dear man, he did. He came unto the Lord. He looked upon the one who was dying upon the cross. He felt his sin. He confessed his sin. He sought for mercy. He sought to have a word from the one who was about to be crucified. Yes, he said, remember me. Oh, my friends, what a welcome there was on the cross. Come unto me, poor sinner, as if the Lord might have said to him, well, come unto me. You're on the brink of eternity. Come unto me. And he did, and he confessed his sin. And he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, what a wonderful case, dear. Though the man never had long under the influence of grace, but I believe that short time, which could have been but minutes, yet here there was a laboring and heavy laden. Perhaps the Holy Spirit had revealed to him all the sins that he committed from childhood day to that very moment, but all forgiven. This day thou shalt be with me in a paradise. Come unto me. Oh, what a gracious God we have, a merciful God. Come unto me. And these people will come. And I'll tell you the reason why they'll come. Because their soul hangs upon Christ. Without him I must perish. And therefore they come laboring before him, heavy laden, and seek for him to take notice of them. And he does. Come unto me. And not one has ever been turned away. Never has, never will be. A poor sinner looking for Jesus, waiting at the post of his door, labouring in prayer, longing for a token, longing for his look, is it one? Why, that poor sinner will never be turned away. And some of them, as I said, some of the liars, Mary Magdalene, with all the devils in her heart, but she was in the covenant of grace. Her name was written in heaven. The devils were removed, she was cleansed, and she was brought to follow her God. Come unto me. And these people, having grace, they will go after him, seek him. Yes, there will be at times a running, if I might so speak, after him. Why, those disciples and those, they ran to the sepulchre. They've seen him, they've communed with him. They've seen his miracles, they'd heard him preach, they loved him, and they ran to the sepulchre. Come unto me. Poor Mary Magdalene, as you know, you've heard me speak of her before, blessed grace, has often touched my heart. Yes, a poor, filthy wretch, and yet born again, having that implanted into her soul, because she became the temple of the Holy Ghost. She loved Jesus. She saw him up there upon the cross. She followed him, as it were, to the sepulchre. Yes, and greatly cast down. When she looked within the sepulchre, and unable to see his body, oh, her cry was, out of love, where hast thou laid him? And here's the Lord Jesus, as it were, saying, come unto me, Mary, come unto me. Oh, a wonderful case, blessed case, a wonderful picture, my friends, of the love of God to poor Mary, and Mary's love to him. Why, she did not know him. When she saw him, thought it was the gardener. But when he opened his lips, oh, there's something very sweet in that. My sheep, they hear my voice, they know it. And you know, some of you, you know the voice of God. If he should speak this evening, you know his voice. And so she did she? Yes. And he spake to her, and he called her by name. Mary, it was enough, my friends. I'm sure it broke her heart. If the Lord should come to you tonight and say, my child, my daughter, my son, with that power from heaven, I believe it would break your heart and mine. Come unto me. Yes, with all your filth, come unto me, whatever the need may be, in providence or in grace. Our God is a God of providence as well as a God of grace. And there's nothing, dear friends, too small, too great to bring to him. Little things, bring it to him. Great things, still laid upon him. Nothing too great, too hard for him to manage. Because he is the God of grace, power and all ability, and he is able to save and to perform. That hand of his can be stretched out and make a way for you in the wilderness. Prosper you if it is his will. Come unto me. And may I say to our dear young friends, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Come unto him, bow the knee, and beg the Lord to direct you and to be with you, to provide for you, to go before you, and he will honor it, and those prayers will be heard and answer. Come unto me. You may mention one or two that came unto the Lord in this deep calm and in this labor. My mind goes for a minute to Hannah of old. You know, she was a woman that knew the text well. She walked in it. She entered into these truths in this text of our this evening. He did she know what it was to labor? She knew what it was to be heavy laden. And she knew the way to her God. Oh, she traveled this path, as you know, for many months. Yes, she went up to the temple again and again with the same laboring and heavy laden, a burden, long for deliverance. She had to wait a long time. Perhaps some of you have been waiting and waiting for the Lord to appear in certain matters. Well, when the time comes, the Lord will appear, as he did with Hannah and Abel. The appointed time. Oh, there is appointed time for the Lord to appear for his dear people when they are laboring and heavy laden. And he will not come a minute before, and he will not delay. He'll come just at the moment he thinks best. And he will handle the matter in his wisdom, whatever it may be. Come unto me. So Hannah went to the Lord. And as we've mentioned, Mary Magdalene, she went unto her God. And many other cases. Why, those that had the awful disease of leprosy, and they went unto the Lord. What do we read this morning? The blind received their sight. The lame walked. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor and the gospel preach to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Oh, the wonderful provisions in the gospel for his dear people. Come unto me. Oh, as we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come, he says, to the waters. Yes, come and partake of those streams. Come. You see, dear friends, the streams cannot flow in any other direction but in or through Jesus. The poor woman who went to the well to find or to draw natural water. If it had been another man sitting on the well, if it had been Jacob, who had the well dug, if it had been Joseph, could they have given life to the poor woman? No. But the Lord Jesus was there, resting his weary body, and this poor woman, this poor sinner, dead in sin, came to the well. Wasn't it the appointed time? Wasn't it the appointed time for her to receive life? And so the Lord spoke to her. She may have gone away very ignorant in the things of grace, of course, but there was something in her heart. And she went back into the city and said, come, or, and see a man that told me all things that ever I did is not this the Christ. Oh, you can see that faith in her. She never believed it was Christ. Come unto me. And at the sound of her voice in that city, we read many came. Many came, and many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the wonderful workings of God and of the Spirit in the hearts of unbelievers, and cause them to come to hear the voice of God and live. Come unto me. Oh, this sweet invitation, dear friends, given to Zion. O ye that labor. I have said this evening that we would look upon the laboring from another viewpoint. Not only laboring under, but laboring for. And I feel I left a few things out that I should have brought in. What is essential unto eternal life? Or how we labor for at times. Not only a grace and faith and love and hope and so on, but oh, how there's a laboring for that precious blood of Christ. That is essential. It is. There's no way through the gates of heaven, no way through the gates of the paradise, but through the fountain of his precious blood. Nothing can enter heaven, dear friends. Nothing at all that is defiled. Has it ever made you tremble? Have you ever looked upon it and felt, well, it seems impossible for me to come? But come unto me in all your filth, and there is blood, the gospels I've hinted upon. And then again, there's the labeling for that wonderful and blessed robe that Christ has wrought out, completed, as it were, on Calvary's cross for his dear people. Oh, the wonderful provisions. Food to eat, water to drink. Washing, cleansing, and clothing in the precious gospel. Come, worship. Vile as you are, come. And he will welcome thee. The prodigal, he went away from home. But he is very soon in want. In want. And he was willing to return to his father's house. And how did he return? In a right spirit. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now, did his father turn him away? No. Come unto me. Come unto me, my lad. And I will provide. Yes, I will give what is necessary. And what was it? Why, clothing, yes. Ring upon his fingers, shoes upon his feet, yes. Everything, as I've said, provided in the blessed gospel. Can you see, my friends, I speak with reverence, in that wonderful picture of the prodigal. Can you view yourself? Leaving the powers of sin, returning unto the Father, returning, as it were, to the house of God, and bearing your head and saying, I have sinned against thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, thy daughter. Did he turn you away? Didn't he give you, as it were, the ring upon the finger, the shoes upon the feet, and killed the fatty calf, and made merry? Yes, a sheep straying away, one of his children straying away from the paths of righteousness. Why, we have another picture of the shepherd going after the one that was lost, left the 99 in the wilderness, and went after the one that was lost. Yes, put him upon the shoulder, brought him back into the fold, and eventually carries him into heaven. Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The first thing I would notice here, very briefly, is the gift. I will give. Cannot merit it, my flesh. No, cannot purchase it. And all our own self-righteousness, no, it's the gift. Oh, what a wonderful gift this is. And the Lord and him only can give it. And here's the promise, I will. And he's faithful and able to fulfill the promise to every laboring soul. And I will give. It means that he has given his life that poor sinners might find rest and peace. We have read in that chapter in Hebrews this evening, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now there's a thought respecting rest eternal. That these dear people who are laboring as they're journeying along in their pilgrimage, they ever taste a foretaste of this rest. And some of you have had it, a foretaste of rest, peace in the heart. It's the foretaste of heaven. Now, when have you tasted it? When have you experienced it? Well, not when you are traveling the world. When the world and the spirit of the world seems to have the upper hand of us. No. When we taste of this rest and this peace of God is often when we are in the laboring and heavy laden and tried and tempted and maybe heavily burdened with affliction or some trial, maybe something in providence. In respect of ourselves, or perhaps those that are near and dear to us, terribly tried, and we try to take it to the Lord, and the Lord hears our prayers, and he comes and gives you a little rest. Now he can do this in various ways. Sometimes he speaks a word, and that will settle the mind, and remove the fear, and remove the temptation. Just one word sometimes, the Lord is pleased to speak and it enters into our souls and it gives us a little rest. Our hope is raised and we feel, well, the Lord hasn't left me. And oh, how sweet these tokens are. Just a touch, it'll settle things in the heart. The heart may be terribly disturbed and tossed up and down, as it were. And yet one touch or one word will bring peace into the soul. That's a foretaste of heaven. Or under those trials that I mentioned, you go to the throne of grace, maybe in secret, and you try to pour out your heart to him, and there's the help of the Spirit. No word spoken, but the sweetness of liberty at the throne of grace. That will bring a little rest in thy soul. It will. What's near? It may be under the preaching of the gospel. He draws near and sees to be perhaps a word or a sentence is spoken, it may be, by the instrument in the pulpit. But it brings and conveys a little rest in thy soul. It brightens your hope, it strengthens your faith, and sometimes the love flowing toward the Lord. Rest. But on the other hand, there's eternal rest. And all true laborers, and these that are heavy laden, will come unto him, and he will give them rest. Eternal rest. Oh, think of that. Poor, vile sinners deserving wrath for eternity. The wrath of God, and yet delivered by no other hand but the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, and redeemed by his precious blood, and a place prepared for them in him. He said to his dear disciples, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, Believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Peace, rest. My dear friends, there's no strife. I speak with reverence. No strife. No, not in the Lord. It's rest and peace. What do we leave behind before we enter into this rest? Well, we shall leave behind a world of sin, a body of sin, the old nature, yes. No more faith will be needed, no more prayer. What will continue? Joy. What else? Praise, praise. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and that will bring praise unto his holy name. Oh, may we be numbered among that people, now and through eternity, that shall be in heaven, to see him face to face without vanity, enjoy his presence, and ever behold Calvary, a man, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide. My friends, if we are so favored to enter into that place, we shall know where to put the crown. And there will be continually praise. May it be our Lord. Amen.
Hymn 630, June 544. What foolish worms are we? How prone to start aside and in our troubles flee from Jesus' wounded side, to wait on self for something base instead of trusting sovereign grace. Thank you.
thy forgiving love over all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in the services of this day. And what has been life, Lord, grant thy blessing. Help us to take it home with us, Lord. And may we still continue to labour and feel the sweetness of thy presence in labouring before thee. Thanking thee for every mercy, committing ourselves in our homes in safety. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit abide with us